I never went to Catholic school. I never had a nun like they have in the stories, kind of whip my hand and tell me to do things. But I know that type, and I encountered that type when I was younger and moved to Chicago. And I moved out to Chicago in spring, and I was born and raised in Newbury Park, and I thought going to, you know, Big Bear was like the dead of winter. It is very cold out there. So my first spring in Chicago, I was going to school, and I got a job as an intern chaplain at Oak Forest Hospital. And I had to get a car from the place I got the internship thing with, and I would drive out to Oak Forest from the city. It was about a 30-minute drive. I don't know, somebody else might know Chicago better than me. So I'd drive out there and do this chaplain thing. So driving in the winter was super scary, but I really enjoyed it because it gave me a moment of my week to get out of the city and get out and see the countryside that I did not see living downtown and having no transportation. So my first day on the job there, I walked into this hospital, and I am not familiar with hospitals. I didn't spend much time in hospitals. My mother was much more of like the hippie type. And so I walk into the hospital, and I go to reception. I say, hey, I'm, you know, this chaplain intern, and I'm here to meet the chaplain lady. And she goes, oh, yeah, sure. She's over at the chapel. Just go over there. So I walk over to the chapel, and there's like what you'd think that like one of those types of people would be like. Like she had the collar, and she was short and mean looking. And I said, hey, I'm Charlie, you know, I'm here from the city, and I'm here to do this chaplain thing. And she said, great. We're going to get you started right away. First, I want you to hit the ICU, and then I want to hit, you know, and she started listing off all these things. And I said, well, I haven't done this before. Like, what do you do, you know? And she said, well, you got to go into the room, and you got to greet them, and if there's family. And she gave me this whole list of things. And I said, can I shadow you for a little bit? Because I don't know how to do this, and I don't want to get it wrong. You know, this is like, people are, you know, this is serious. So she said, fine, why don't you come with me? We're going to go to three rooms. I'll take you there, and you're going to shadow me, and then you're going to go do this yourself. And I said, sure, okay, thanks. So I walk alongside, you know, and I was, you know, I was an optimistic young guy, and most young people, you kind of think like, I know what's going on. So I kind of go, I know what's going on. You go, and these people having problems, and you like can go, like, listen. And so the first room you go in, and there's, like, a family and their dying teen daughter. And this nun chick handled it real well. She was, like, super serious, super confident, and you know, like, I don't know, just started spewing forth, like, vagaries, you know, and it made everybody feel better. And then we left. And she said, "You get that?" You know, I'm like, "Okay, I kind of get it." And we go to this next area, and she goes, "We're gonna, you know, we're gonna go to this other wing now." You know, so walk to this other wing, and going through this hospital, I started to think, this isn't for me. It smells like warm pee in here, because like in the winter in Chicago, all the windows are shut. It's like stuffy and hot and stinky, and all these people have like sores and are dying. And I started to think like, oh, like this is going to be a really terrible internship. Like maybe I'm excited to get back to the city when I'm done with this today, and hopefully this, you know, this goes smoothly. So we go to the next room, and it's like this guy, and he's laying there, and she goes, well, you know, he likes to talk. But, you know, you got to kind of move through the rooms because you got, you know, you got to hit 15 rooms in the 3 hours or something. I said, okay. So we go in, and he's got this hole in his throat and a smoker or something. And so he starts talking, but like 3 words in, he's like, so I was, and then like phlegm just starts flowing from his throat. And then you call in the orderly, and she comes in, and she vacuums out his throat. It's like, you know, and then he starts talking again, and it just happens. So it's like this, and I'm like, I feel this is, like, insufferable. Like, what am I doing here, right? And so anyway, we go to a couple more rooms, and then she goes, okay, you off, go off alone, and do your thing. And so I said, okay. She goes, I want you to hit, you know, these wings. And she said, I really want you in the ICU. And I said, okay. And she goes, you got to go every room in a circle around the ICU. And ICU is where all the people die, if you don't know. And so first week, I went around to the ICU, and I kind of would walk into a room and say, hi, I'm here, I'm a chaplain, and just want to talk to you if you have anything to talk about or whatever. And the families just usually just thank you, or if nobody's in there. You know, she said if you walk in a room and somebody's, like, catatonic, me just, like, pray for them, and then just next room. So I did this, right, for a few weeks, and I got this, you know, she didn't babysit me. So I realized, like, I don't like going to the ICU because you'll walk into one room and then the next week they'll be dead or gone or whatever. And it's super depressing. Some people are nodding their heads. I think some people know what I'm talking about. So I started to get certain patients that were way cooler to hang out with. Like, one lady was in her 80s, and I think she was just there because she was old, you know? And I would go up to her and I'd talk to her and she'd be like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, I saw Louis Armstrong play. I was like, no way. And she'd tell me all these stories, and I would say, like, tell me about the blues guys. You know, she'd, oh, the blues guys are all bad news. You know, Sonny Boy Williamson, he was terrible. You know, it was just so cool, right? You're like, wow, this is a piece of history. And so there's these people that I would stick with. But the whole time I was kind of like always checking my watch. And sometimes I'd even kind of, like, skip out a little early. I'd go into the woods outside the hospital. I'm just going to hang out. And so the year went on, and there was this one guy named Lawrence. And I would go see him all the time because he was really positive. Like, you'd go in, he'd be like, well, he's completely paralyzed. Hey, Charlie, what's happening, man? Come over here. And he'd be like, could you read me something? You know, and he always wanted to read him the Bible. He'd be like, well, please read me the Bible. You know, I can't read, because he couldn't move his head. Only, you know. So I'd come over and I'd read him the Bible and stuff. You know, after time, you know, we built this relationship and stuff. And I said, Lawrence, you know, what happened to you? And he goes, oh, well, I was living in Chicago, and I was super rich, and I had this high-rise apartment and all this kind of stuff. And one morning, I was on my way to, you know, I was going to go to my job or whatever, making all this money. And you know, he talked about his cars and, you know, his big fancy life. And he goes, I was eating this bowl of Cheerios and in the morning, and I just collapsed and I was paralyzed. And he fell on the ground, and he was paralyzed. He had some super rare something, right? And he was paralyzed neck down. And I go, you know, and I think, like, I slowed down for a second and I remembered where I was, and I said, I said, that's really tough. And he goes, no, it's not that bad. You know why? I said, well, why is that? And he goes, well, you know, you read me the Bible all the time. I said, yeah. And he goes, well, there's my favorite passage of the Bible. You haven't read me. And I said, what's that, you know? And he goes, well, it's, you know, in the book of Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. And I said, sorry, I'll go, okay, I'll read it to you. So I read it to him, and it's like this list of all these good qualities, right? And I go, well, Lawrence, why do you like this? And he goes, well, because I really like the part where it says that we're to have long suffering. And it was as at that moment, you know, that it was like a ball dropped and kicked my tiny child bottom. And I realized that the warm smell of pee in that hospital and all the people dying and all that kind of stuff. And here I was, this stupid little kid walking around pretending like I knew something. And here was a guy who was super positive because his favorite quality was long suffering, because he knew that he would sit in that hospital room for the rest of his life and be paralyzed. And it changed my life.